Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Live with Lon. I'm so glad you're with us today for this July 4th weekend, and we're going to pray for our country, and we're going to pray for our time in the Word. So let's go. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your mercy to America all these years. Thank you, Lord, for the recent overturning of Roe v. Wade and for the ability now for our states to prevent the killing of innocent infants in the womb. And Lord, I just pray that we will rise up as a nation and obey God in terms of allowing these young lives to be born and to live out your purpose for their life. Lord Jesus, have mercy on us as a country and reinstill in us as a country a deep desire to obey God and obey his word and be pleasing to God and not follow our own way, whether it be with abortion or gay rights or corruption in business and ethics in the stock market and all those things, Lord. And now I pray for our time in the Word of God. Use it, Lord Jesus, in our lives today, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. And what? Amen. Okay. Now, today, we are going to continue in John chapter 7. And let's pick up there. Jesus' brothers have headed off to the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem. And they've challenged him to go. And he has said, I'm not going. So that's where we pick up the story. Here we go. Verse 9. And when he had said these words to them, he remained in Galilee. Now we'll show you our map again. So you see Galilee at the top, Samaria in the middle, and Judea where Jerusalem is in the south. And so this is where Jesus stayed. He stayed in the north. But when his brothers had gone up to Jerusalem, then he also went up to the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, he is a good man. And others said, no, on the contrary, he deceives the people. However, no one spoke openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now, about the middle of the feast, this was a seven-day feast, the Feast of Tabernacles. Jesus went up to the temple in Jerusalem and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how does this man know letters, never having studied? And Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but him who sent me. If anyone wants to do his will, he will know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak from myself. We'll stop there right now. The people said, how does he know letters? This is a literal translation. How is he educated? How does he know all this about doctrine and theology, having never studied? Well, you know, even today, the Jewish people have yeshivas, where young men go and study the word, the Bible, and also the comments of the rabbis on the Bible, the Mishnah and the Gemara, the Talmud. And Jesus hadn't been to school. He'd been a carpenter. So they wanted to know, how does he know all this theological information? It would be like somebody who's never been to school coming and talking about quantum mechanics all of a sudden. How can this be? Well, Jesus answers and says, you don't understand. These rabbis are studying what God said and wrote down in the Bible. I'm God, and I get my information directly from him. I am him. I get it directly from God the Father, so I don't need to go to school to know what God the Father wants me to teach. Amazing comment. I'm not sure they fully got it, but we get it today. Now, let's go back and look for just a second at verse 17. The Bible, the King James, New King James, translates it, let's put it on the screen, if anyone wants to do his will. There's a play on words here And really, the literal translation is, if anyone wills to do his will. If anyone wants to, yes. If anyone is anxious to, yes. If anyone wills to do his will, he will know when I'm talking about true spiritual truth. Now, this talks about our heart. If anyone wills to do God's will in his heart, that means that the people who recognize spiritual truth are people who have a prepared heart, a heart that wants to do business with God, a heart that wants to please God. How do we get such a heart? Well, we don't make it ourselves. God, the Holy Spirit, has to work in our heart, convict our heart, tenderize our heart, so that we want to please God. This is a supernatural event that happens in our heart. And this is what I want to talk to you about today, because it leads into the title of today's message. The title is The Bible Salvation Chain, and having a prepared heart is one of the five links in this chain, and Jesus refers to it right here. He also refers to it in John 8:47. Look what he says in John 8:47. He says, "He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear them because you are not of God." Unless you've got that kind of tenderized heart that comes from knowing God and having God work in your heart, if you're in the process of coming to know God, you're not going to, what did Jesus say here? You're not going to hear God's words and understand that they are from God. How about John 10:26? He says, verse 25, "I told you that I'm the Christ, and you do not believe." Verse 26, "But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you." You're not one of my sheep. You don't have a heart that I've prepared to be able to recognize spiritual truth. Now, that's as far as I want to go in the passage, because I want to ask our most important question and get to this chain, the Bible salvation chain, right away. You ready? What's our most important question? So what? There you go. And you know what we say? Where's my friend Jackie? Here he is. Ready? What do we say? How sweet it is. Amen and amen. Now, what do I mean by the Bible salvation chain? Well, there are five links in this chain. Let me give them to you. Let's put them on the screen, and then we'll come back and we'll go over this. So, are you ready? Here we go. Link number one, a chosen status with God. Number two, results in a prepared heart, which results in, number three, a divine recognition of spiritual truth, which results in, number four, a positive response to Jesus and the gospel, which results in, number five, salvation and eternal life and heaven. Now, this chain works backwards, too. If you have salvation, eternal life in heaven, then it's because you had a positive response to Jesus and the gospel message, which is because you had a divine recognition of spiritual truth, which is because you had a prepared heart by the Holy Spirit, which is because you have a chosen status with God. You with me? All right. Now, let's go through this real quick and put some scripture with it. Here we go. A chosen status with God. Jesus says in John 15, verse 16, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." Wow. That's just not for the apostles. That's for all of us. John 6:65, Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father draw him, unless he's been chosen by the Father to come to me. And look at John 13, verse 18. Jesus says, talking about the disciples, he said, I don't speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen. And I've not chosen Judas Iscariot, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against you. Now I tell you before it comes, that when it comes to fast, you may believe I am he. Jesus says, I'm telling you that Judas is going to betray me. And I didn't choose him for eternal life and salvation and a prepared heart. I chose the rest of you. I know whom I've chosen. Okay, so we start with a chosen status with God. We'll come back and talk about that in a minute. That results in a prepared heart. Remember we saw in John chapter 7, the person who wills to do his will. That's a heart that's been prepared by God to come to Christ and obey God and wants to please God. How about in 2 Corinthians chapter 4? I think one of the greatest verses in the Bible, talking about how the enemy, the Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. Look at this. Verse 4, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. In whom, talking about unbelievers, the God of this age has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. But verse 6, look what it says in verse 6. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, and who has shown in our heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Why do you believe in Jesus? Because God gave you a prepared heart. He shone into your heart. The light, spiritual light of the gospel, and allowed you in your heart to be prepared to come into contact with the gospel. This is an amazing thing. Lydia, in Acts 16:14, the Bible says, and the Lord opened Lydia's heart to heed, to listen to the words that Paul was speaking. He prepared Lydia's heart to recognize the gospel. She became the first believer on the continent of Europe. Why? Because she had a prepared heart. Why? Because she had been chosen by God to come to Christ. Now, link number three, when we have a prepared heart, we have a divine recognition of spiritual truth when we come across it. The Bible, the gospel. Look, John 8, verse 47. Where Jesus says, he who is of God hears God's words, therefore you do not hear them because you are not of God. Why didn't these rabbis recognize spiritual truth? Because they didn't have a prepared heart, because God had not chosen them. They were not of God. Also, how about looking with me in John chapter 10, verse 26. The Bible says, Jesus says here, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. You haven't been chosen to be one of my sheep. So therefore, God did not prepare your heart. So therefore, you don't recognize spiritual truth when I'm giving it to you. And back to John chapter 8, look at verse 43. Why do you not understand my speech? Well, Jesus is going to tell us, because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil. You are not of God. Okay. Well, having then the ability to recognize spiritual truth is critical to coming to Christ. I remember when Bob Eckhart gave me a Bible in 51 years ago and challenged me to read the Bible. Friends, all I can tell you is, as I sat in my bedroom and read the Bible, every single thing inside of me testified to me that this was true. I wasn't deceiving myself. I tried to believe a lot of other things were true. Eastern religions, Hare Krishna, the Judah, you try it. I tried them all. But everything inside of me suddenly testified this was true. Why? Why did I have that ability to recognize a spiritual truth? And why did you have it when you were presented with the Bible and the gospel? Because God had prepared your heart for this, because he had chosen you to come to Christ. Which leads to link number four, which is when we have a divine recognition of spiritual truth, that leads to a positive response to Jesus and the gospel, like Lydia had. Look in John chapter 10, verse 26 says, you don't believe because you're not of my sheep. You don't have divine recognition of truth. Verse 27, but my sheep hear my voice. They come to Christ. They have a positive response to me and my word. And I know them and they follow me. Finally, which results number five in salvation and eternal life and heaven. Look right here in John 10, verse 27. You don't recognize spiritual truth. Verse 28, but the people who do have a positive response to me in the gospel. Verse 28, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. So this is the gospel chain. Now, what about this idea that God chooses us? Well, friends, I'm not a five-point Calvinist. I'm not anything. I'm a biblicist. I try to just believe the Bible, and this is clear in the Bible that God does this, and we'll talk about it in a minute. But let me just show you a couple of verses. How about in John chapter 12? Look at this. John chapter 12, verse 37. It says, but though he, Jesus, had done many signs, many miracles, so many before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah, the prophet, may be fulfilled, which he spoke. Lord, Isaiah 53, verse 1, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Look at verse 39. Therefore, they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he, God, has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and turn again, and I should heal him. These things Isaiah said when he saw God's glory and spoke of him. Listen, if you were able to see spiritual truth and understand with our heart, we would turn again. We would repent and God would heal us. And God says, I'm just declaring I'm not allowing these people to do that. Ooh, that's a scary concept. God said, I'm just not allowing them to see and understand. Wow. Now let's close today by drawing some ramifications from all of this. The first ramification is this, that people come to Christ because they've been chosen by God to come to Christ. And their heart has been prepared so that when they see spiritual truth coming out of the Bible and out of your mouth, as you repeat the Bible, they recognize it and they respond positively to it. My friends, if you have a loved one, if you have a relative, a friend at work, a husband, a wife, a child, a neighbor who's not recognizing spiritual truth and not responding positively to it, friends, I just want to say to you, it's not your fault. There's nothing wrong with you and how you presented the gospel. You could present the gospel in as clumsy a manner as possible, and if they had a prepared heart and were chosen by God and this was their moment, they'd have come to Christ. Believe me. And I presented the gospel to my grandparents and to my aunt and uncle, and they did not come to Christ. They died, as far as I know, never coming to Christ, even though I talked to them a number of times. And it's very easy for me to feel guilty, like if I'd only done it better, if I only had presented the Christ more often, if I had only been more effective, they would have come to Christ. No, that's not right. No. And it's not right for you either. So if you have that situation, friends, it's like the sower who went out to sow, Matthew 13, and he threw seed everywhere. And there was a hard soil, and there was shallow soil, and there was contaminated soil, and the seed wasn't able to grow and bear fruit. But then there was good soil, and the seed grew and bare good fruit. Well, folks, let me just say, the problem here in this parable, there's nothing wrong with the seed, and there was nothing wrong with the sower. The problem was with the soil. And if you're the sower and the seed is the gospel, and then when you sow it on somebody's life and they don't come to Christ, it's not the seed's fault, and it's not your fault as the sower. It's the soil's fault. Something's wrong with the soil. Okay, so we need to get over that guilt. Ramification number two is that there are certain people, if you know Christ, you're one of them, whom God chose you before the foundation of the world and put you in a chosen status, which allowed your heart to be prepared, so you responded to the gospel, so that he gave you as a gift salvation, eternal life in heaven. This is very clear in the Bible. Look, if you would, at John 13, verse 18. I know whom I have chosen, Jesus said. And look at John 15, 16. The Bible, Jesus says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And these people, Jesus constantly referred to these chosen individuals as people God had given him here on earth. Look what he says, John chapter 6, verse 37, all that the Father gives me, talking about people, will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Look at verse 39, and this is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I shall lose nothing, but raise it up at the last day. Talking about us. Look at John chapter 17, the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus before the cross. Look what he says in verse 4. He says, I have glorified you on the earth. I've finished the work you gave me to do. Verse 6, I have manifested your name to the men and women whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. He prays later in verse 11, Holy Father, keep through your name those you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. Verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, Judas Iscariot, that the scripture might be fulfilled. These people that were chosen, the Lord, the God the Father gave them to the Lord Jesus. I don't totally understand all that that means, because I'm not God. But it's clear that there are chosen people to come to Christ, and there are unchosen people to come to Christ. Remember what we saw in John chapter 12, therefore they could not come to Christ. Now, is it possible that at some point in a person's life, they don't act like they're chosen, and they don't act like they have a prepared heart, and then later in life, they suddenly show up and it becomes clear they are chosen and they do have a prepared heart? Absolutely. Happens all the time. My father, when I first came to Christ and presented the gospel to him, I loved him. He had a terrible heart condition. He could die at any moment. I knew that. I presented the gospel to him over and over and over again. I was so obsessed with trying to see, help him come to Christ. He would get up, walk out of the room, and I mean, he didn't look chosen, and he definitely didn't look like he had a prepared heart. And he was not recognizing spiritual truth. This is what Paul says, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Now, the message of the gospel is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the wisdom of God. But then all of a sudden, in the last week of his earthly life, after his fourth heart attack in the hospital in Charlottesville, Virginia, I walked in, and the first thing he said to me after a couple of greeting words is, you know, I've been doing a lot of thinking, Lon, and I'm thinking that maybe everything you've been telling me about Jesus might be right. I was like, oh, kabunga. I couldn't believe it. Friend, listen, the next morning, he and I got on our knees together there in the hospital by his bed, and he asked Jesus in his life. Wow. He was chosen. Wow. Right at that moment, his heart was prepared. For 7 years, it had not been. So please remember that just because a person looks like they're unchosen and unprepared at a given moment doesn't mean that later on they can't reveal themselves that they really were chosen and really did have a prepared heart. And that leads to number three, ramification number three, and the most important one, and that is we don't know who has a prepared heart just by looking at them. We don't know who is a chosen person and has chosen status by God just by looking at them. The only way we know is by throwing the seed on them. Now, you can look at the soil in Jesus' parable, but you don't know for sure which soil is which. The only way to find out, throw the seed on it. And when you throw the seed on it, it will reveal itself as to what kind of soil it is. And when we throw the seed on people of the gospel, they will reveal what kind of person they really are in this chain. And so that's the third ramification, my friends. We just keep sowing the seed. And like with my father, as long as there's breath in a person's body, we don't stop sowing the seed and praying for them because they may not look like they're chosen and that their heart's prepared and they're ready to respond to Christ. But that doesn't mean it can't change. So we don't, as long as there's breath in a person's body, we don't give up praying and trying to share the Lord with those people. And so this is what I want you to take away today, which is we don't know who's chosen. We don't know whose heart's prepared or whose hearts will become prepared as time goes on, revealing that they're chosen from before the foundation of the world. So, baby, we just keep praying. And, baby, we just keep sowing. That's the call to your life and to my life. And, of course, we can thank God that if you know Christ, God chose you. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Individually, he chose you. Out of all of the billions of people in this world, he chose you. Why? I don't know. I don't know why he chose me. But we can sure thank him for it and be grateful for it. Say, oh, dear Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, about this chosen, let me just give you a verse before we close. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, verse 1. An apostle of Jesus Christ, writing to the pilgrims scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. These were all in modern-day Turkey. Look, elect, verse 2, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. We're elect. We're chosen. But maybe it's not arbitrary. And maybe it's not capricious. Maybe God chooses the people to come to Christ and gives them chosen status because in his foreknowledge, looking down the corridors of time, he knows who will believe and who will not believe. Now, can that be right? I don't know. Maybe. Can it be that this is how God makes that choice? Maybe. How does he know they will without controlling that they will? I don't know. I don't know. You know what? I don't worry about it because I can't figure it out anyway. I don't impugn God as to who he chooses and who he doesn't because who am I? I'm the clay. He's the potter. Who am I to tell him what to do? I don't pass those kind of judgments. Why didn't he choose my grandparents? Why didn't he choose my aunt and uncle? Why didn't he choose some of you, the people you love that have passed? I don't know. But we can't worry about that. That's between God and himself. And we dare not impugn him or be angry and bitter. That's a place we can't go. So, share the gospel. Sow the seed. Tell people about Jesus. And you know what'll happen? Yeah, there'll be rocky soil, and yeah, there'll be contaminated soil, and yeah, there'll be hard soil. But you know what, folks? There's good soil out there too. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we want to lift up to you right now all the people we love and care about who've not come to Christ. And Lord, I just pray that as long as they're still breathing, we will keep praying for them. We will keep sowing the seed on their soil. We'll keep trying to share Christ with them, Lord, in the hopes that maybe they're just delayed in developing a prepared heart, like my dad was. Lord Jesus, help us to go out and be good sowers of the seed, remembering that there's nothing wrong with the seed. The problem is in the soil. And so, Lord Jesus, when we meet soil that's not ready, help us just to commit it to you and move on, and knowing there's good soil out there and we'll meet it if we'll just keep sowing. And Lord, thank you, you made us good soil. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you enabled us to recognize spiritual truth and respond positively to you and the gospel. And so therefore you gave us eternal life in heaven. Lord Jesus, forgiveness of sins. We love you for choosing us, Lord, and preparing our hearts. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen and amen. God bless you. Keep sowing, baby. Keep sowing. God bless you.